Blog Talk Radio. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. You are listening to Take Me to the King by Tamla. Man, what a powerful, awesome, anointed song. Amen. You can feel that anointing when she sings that song. Ah, hallelujah. I'm just always so mesmerized by the power and the awesomeness of the gifts that God has given to men. Amen. And when I say men, I mean everyone, boys, girls, women, men. Amen. When we say the word men, we're including everyone. Amen. Woo, glory. Take me to the King. We don't have much to bring. Amen. But we certainly have something to give. And as we stated on yesterday, hallelujah, we have to render our heart, our mind, our body, and soul to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we didn't have a Savior, people, if we didn't have a Redeemer, if we didn't have a Deliverer, if we didn't have a Provider, what would we have need to call on the Lord for? Hallelujah. But you have to experience Him in the beauty of holiness. You have to have an encounter with God for yourself. My testimony and my story is not yours. We all have different testimonies. We all have different stories. But we have one Deliverer. Ah, glory to God. We have one Savior. We have one Lord. Hallelujah. We have one God. Amen, amen. And He governs the heavens and the earth. He said, all souls are mine. Every soul belongs to the Lord. You're not my soul. You're God's soul. You're a living soul. When He breathed, hallelujah, life into Adam, He became a living soul. He created him out of the dust of the earth. He formed him in his likeness and in his image. And after he seen that beautiful creature that he had created, then the Lord God, he breathed into him, and Adam became a living soul. Oh, who wouldn't serve a God like this? Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Ah, we thank you once again for tuning in to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. I am your host, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard, along with our co-host, Sister Ruby Larry. And we greet you, each and every one of you, in the matchless, awesome, magnanimous, magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we bless the Lord and we thank you for always tuning in and listening to this radio broadcast. Again, we're here to encourage. We're here to inspire. We're here to enrich. We're here to enhance. We are here to empower souls to pursue your destiny in Christ Jesus. Not your destiny of what you desire to become, but your destiny in Christ Jesus. For the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, God, I bless you today, the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Hallelujah. Not my righteousness, but God's righteousness. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. When you see that word all, it is inclusive of everything. He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We thank God today. And we're going to open up with the word of prayer. God, hallelujah. We're going to flow as the Lord would lead us on today. Hallelujah. We carried over our subject, protect your anointed. But this is what they call my grandson and them when they get the singing and, you know, this new age stuff. They call it freestyling. Well, we're going to freestyle this week. And however the Lord leads us, that's the way we're going to go. We're freestyling today, but we're trusting the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside to lead God and protect us as we're on this line. Lord God, in the Jesus, we come before you humbly once again. Lord God, and we're submitting ourselves to your will on today. We're submitting ourselves to your instructions today. We're submitting ourselves to your guidance today. Oh, God, we realize we could do nothing without you. Ah, without you, God, we would fail. Oh, Lord, so we're calling on you today. We're calling on you, Lord, for strength. We're calling on you, Lord God, because we have no one else to call on but you. Hallelujah. You are the only wise God. You are the God of heaven and earth. Oh, you say the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it belong to you. Oh, God, we're asking you to create in us today a clean heart. Renew in us a right spirit, Lord God. Oh, we come to you with a repentant heart today, God. Oh, Lord, and we're asking you to forgive us of all our sins, God, for all our trespasses, God, for every ill word that we've spoken to one another, for every ill word that we've spoken against your will and against your order, God. We're asking you to forgive us, God. We know you to be a forgiving God. We know you are God that's willing always to restore us in right standing. Oh, God, we want to be right before you. Hallelujah. Lord God, we realize, hallelujah, that you are the potter and we are the clay. Lord God, we're asking you to shape us. We're asking you to mold us into the image of your dear Son, God. Oh, God, if you find anything that's not like you today, oh, God, we're asking you to take it away. Remove it from our hearts, God. Oh, God, if we thought anything that wasn't pleasant, we're asking your forgiveness today, God. Oh, God, you said in your word to let a man examine himself. Oh, God, we examine ourselves this morning. Oh, this afternoon, we want to be in right standing with you, God. Oh, God, we want to please you. In everything that we do, in our conversation, in our walk, God, in our service to others, God, we want to make sure that you're pleased. We want to make sure that we're walking circumspectly. We want to make sure, Lord God, that we're not violating any of your ordinances. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah, for being the forgiving God that you are. We're asking you to bless every listener today. We're asking you to bless those that listen on the internet live. We're asking you to bless those that come in the chat room. Every caller that dial into 858 683-1334. You know who they are, God. You know their name. You know where they reside. You know their thoughts before they even enter into their hearts, God. Even into their minds, God. You know our thoughts, God. Oh, we're asking you to bless their children, God. Bless their families, God. Oh, God, we're asking you to bless the leaders that you have given charge over them. Oh, God, we're asking you, Lord God, hallelujah, to fulfill and honor every petition, every request that have gone up before you, God. Oh, God, we're asking you to honor it according to your will, according your purpose, God. Let it be done. Oh, God, we're asking you to strengthen Sister Ruby today, God. Continue to touch her body, God. Ah, God, give her peace down in her sanctified soul. Oh, God, we're asking you to reward her for her God. Reward her for the service. Reward her, Lord God, for everything that she does for the kingdom of God. Oh, God, and all those that come on the line. I won't get into the name calling, Lord God, but you know who they are. Bless all of our speakers, Lord God, that come on this line each and every day. Continue to strengthen Pastor Edward Hamilton, God. Oh, God, we're asking you to continue to strengthen him. Oh, God, restore him, God. Make him whole, God. Make him complete, Lord God. Give him a greater thirst and a greater hunger for you, God. In the name of Jesus. Remember Prophet Davis. Hallelujah, that's helping us today. I've been helping us all this week, God. We thank you for the man of God. Remember even Elder Horn, God. That'll be ministering for us on Friday, God. First time coming on this broadcast to minister for us. Oh, God, we're asking you to give him a word, God. Hallelujah, that would open up your people understanding. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Help us, Lord God. We need your help, God. Help us to dwell, hallelujah, forever in your presence, God. Help us, Lord God, to humble ourselves at the mighty hand of God. Oh, God, help us always to remember your word, God. Help us to hide this word in our heart, God, that we may not sin against you. Oh, God, and if we sin, give us a mind to repent. Give us a mind, God, to fall on our faces and cry out to you like never before. Hallelujah, asking you for grace and mercy. For you are God that has always been gracious. You are God that is plenteous in mercy, God. And we thank you for it. We thank you for your long suffering with us. We thank you for your patience with us. God, don't let us fall by the wayside, God. Oh, God, but continue to strengthen us. God, you said in your word that we could do all things through Christ who strengthened us, God. Stir up these gifts that's within us, God. Hallelujah. Gifts of love, gifts of peace, gifts of joy, gifts of temperance, gifts of long suffering, gifts of meekness and kindness and gentleness. God, stir it up in us where we'll be able to distribute it. And we'll be able to encourage others with this word. God, we thank you, we magnify you, and we glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus, I bless you today. Oh, God, I bless you today. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you today, God. Oh, Jesus, and as hallelujah, we're going on into the word a little bit. Hey, God, and I'm going to ask Sister Ruby in a few minutes to see it. Pastor Prophetess Davis is on the line. Hallelujah. We just want to encourage you today. And as I was sitting here, my mind went back to last week. We were talking about protecting your anointing. And the week before that, we were talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. And the week before that, we were talking about desiring spiritual gifts. Glory to God. And as I begin to just meditate on the word of God today, I said, Lord, what are you saying? And the Lord went back. He had me to go back into the scripture. Hallelujah. And I found myself back in the book of Acts. Some of you all that have been with us for quite a while, coming on to this radio broadcast, some of you all can remember we did a study. We did a series on the Acts of the Apostles, and we went through 28 chapters of the book of Acts, from the first chapter to the last, 28 chapters in the book of Acts, and we covered a chapter every day. Sister T, Sister Ruby, I know you all was with us. Sister Donna may have been with us on some of those acts. And we went through them from Acts 1 to Acts 28. So I found myself going back into the book of Acts today, going back to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I'm finding out something today that we don't have what we say we have. Hallelujah. And if we had what we say we have, then guess what? We should be walking and talking like Jesus. Hallelujah. We should be doing what Jesus was doing. We should be doing what the disciples, hallelujah, was left to do. Jesus left them example. He left them a pattern. What is a pattern? A pattern. When I was growing up in school, I took home economics, and we had to sew in that class. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And then we learned, we would get the patterns. You know, they used to have the patterns at Bogue. All of these things are just about done away with. You don't find too many of them. Now they call them blueprints when you get to doing buildings and architects and all of that. But I can remember in the home economic class, we had to cut out and make a pattern. Amen. And that pattern would have all the different figures, and it would have the numbers, and the alphabets would go with the sleeve, and you know, the sleeves, you make the sleeves when you're getting ready to make the garment. Hallelujah, the sleeves. Then it would have the front and the back of the shirt or the dress or whatever you was making at that time. And that pattern, hallelujah, that's how we would cut out our material and what have you. And then after we get all of the pattern laid out, all the material cut to the specification of what the pattern acts for, then the teacher would tell us, okay, after you've done that, see, we wanted to just get on the sewing machine and sew. We didn't want to follow no instructions, and that's how we are today. We don't want any instructions. We want to live the way we want to live. We don't want nobody to correct us. We're not willing to follow instructions. Glory to God. And that's why we find ourselves going through some unnecessary things because of our unwillingness. Our unwillingness to follow directions. But I'm telling you, God have a roadmap for us today. Glory to God. And this roadmap is the Holy Bible. I'm getting ready. I'm almost shot out to drive down here to Fresno. Haven't got the correct directions, so I have to map quest it. I don't have a navigation system in my car. Glory to God, but to be foolish, I I would ignore all of that and just think, because of me driving for 40-plus years, I'm going to just go on my own understanding. That would be foolish of me. Hallelujah. But I'm going to have to map quest those directions. Hey, God, where I don't steer off and go the wrong way. And because of gas being so expensive today, you want to make sure that you're on the right road. Well, I'm here to serve you notice today, hey, that we have a road to follow. There is a highway. Hey, God, there is a highway called holiness. And the only way we can get there is you have to live holy. You have to be righteous. You have to follow the blueprint. You have to follow this roadmap. You have to follow this pattern that God has already cut out for our life. Hey, glory to God. If we follow it, we won't go wrong. But sometimes we have to go back to the old landmark. Sometimes we have to go back to the beginning, to the very beginning. You know, sometimes we go through tests, we take tests. I'm talking about a manual test. You know, when you're in school, you take these tests, and sometimes the teachers will trick you. We have some trick questions on there, and to see if you're willing to follow instructions. And they may tell you something at the beginning. Hey, glory to God. And you weren't attentive. You weren't sure what you were so quick to try to hurry up and get through that you missed something, and you wind up failing. Hallelujah. Oh, but God don't want us to fail. He wants us to lean and depend on him. He wants us to be accurate. He wants us to know the way. Hallelujah. Know the way. Amen. And the only way you can know that way is if you seek after God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul. Give it all to God. So let me go quickly here, and then I'm going to turn it over, hallelujah, into the hands of Prophet Davis if he's on the line today. Amen, amen.
Yes.
I looked at, hallelujah, Acts chapter 19. Hallelujah, and it reads as thus. We're going to read verses 1 through verse 6. And it says, and it came to pass that while Paul was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Hallelujah. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? I'm asking the question today. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Going back today, since you believed. And they said unto him, hallelujah, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now these are, hallelujah, Paul was not talking to those that Jesus had particularly called. Hallelujah. These were some other disciples that wasn't named in the Bible. He found certain disciples. Remember all those, hallelujah, that was in the upper room. They received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But there were some other disciples that weren't mentioned. Amen, amen. And he said, He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? If you haven't heard of the Holy Ghost, how were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now let me tell you, people of God, the Holy Ghost is a gift. It's a gift that God has promised for all those that believe on him. Oh, but you have to, it's a process. You just don't get this gift because it's promised to you. You have to do something in order to qualify for it. You have to qualify for this gift. God just don't give this gift, hallelujah, to those that are unqualified, to those that are undeserving. Oh, you have to repent. Oh, glory to God. Let's finish this, and then we're going to go to the repentance. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, I know I'm reading it again, I want to get it into your hearing today, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. And not only did they speak with tongues, they prophesied. Glory to God. See, prophecy is just not for a select few. Hallelujah. Because Joel said in the last days, God was going to pull out his spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and your daughters, they are going to prophesy. Hallelujah, God, I bless you today. Glory to God. And he said, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. But listen also what Joel said. He said also, well, glory to God, upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Oh, glory. So your maids and your maid servants, they're also going to prophesy. Amen, amen. But let's turn to the book of, to the first book of Acts. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 4, 1 and 4, saying, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. Now drop down to verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You can't witness without power unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Now going over to verse 2. Chapter 2. Hey, glory to God. And let's go to verse 38. No, let's start. Glory to God. At verse 36, it said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God has made Jesus, whom they crucified, Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter, we all know that Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. He said, Peter, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You see what he said? He said, repent. Repent first, then be baptized for the remission of your sins, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. People of God, I just want to encourage you today, as the Lord dealt with me today, that we need to go back to the old landmark. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you got it and you find yourself not being obedient to the leading of the Holy Ghost, then go back. Go back and do your first works again. Go back and repent. Repent and ask God to forgive you. Repent, as the man of God said yesterday, and ask the God for an infilling. Oh, God, we need to be refilled. We need to be refilled. Hey, if you spoke once, you can speak again. Hallelujah. But the reason we're not speaking is because we're not being led of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. It is the comforter. It is the promise of the Father. And we identified that when we talked about the gift of the Holy Ghost 2 weeks ago. And we won't go back into it. Go back to that week where we talked about it. But I want to encourage you today that the reason why we're missing the mark is because we won't focus all of our attention on Jesus. We won't focus all of our attention on this word. We're looking at one another. We're looking at other folks. But you better get in this word. You better let the Lord stir up the gift that is in you. If you have the Holy Ghost, it'll talk to you. It'll tell you when you're wrong. And guess what? When it begins to talk to you, all you can do is humble yourself. Humble yourself and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of my sins. I repent of my wrongdoing. I repent of my ill conversation. Hallelujah. He said, let no corrupt thing proceed out of your mouth. He said, evil communication will corrupt good manners. We have to get back into right standing with God. Whatever it takes. Do you want to live holy? Do you want the blessings of the Lord to follow you? Hey, glory, you know we quote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We quote it with an anointing. We quote it as though God is right there with us. We quote it and, oh, God, we can quote it so well that people begin to feel something when they hear us talking about that 23rd Psalm. Oh, but let me tell you, people, God knows those that are his. Hallelujah. He knows those that are his. Hey, glory to God. And if you're not living right, God is against the wicked every day. Hallelujah. But he upholds the upright. Hallelujah. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, leading it to a rock. When you don't know what to do, when you're overwhelmed, when you're in the valley of decision, go to that rock. I'm encouraging you today to go to that rock. That rock is Jesus. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, hey, God, I'm asking God to let it fall on you right now. While you're on this line, the Holy Ghost can fall on you. All you got to do is repent. All you got to do is believe this word, and God will get you what you have need of. God, I bless you today. Prophet David's in your hand. No.
Glory, 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 glory.
I feel it moving on the inside right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God, I bless you, and I thank you, God. Oh, God, I repent today. I need a new feeling. Hallelujah. I want to be touched with God's power. I want to know that he's still talking to me. I want to know that I'm still in right standing. standing with him. I want him to know how grateful and how thankful I am. Oh, what can I render unto him today for all of his benefits? Oh, God has been so merciful to us. He's been so gracious. He's been so kind. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? I love him today. Ah, oh, glory to God. Ah, oh, Pastor David, there you go, Lord.
God is
God
good.
Lord. God
is good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. I feel a real deep peaceful anointing that's here on the phone. A deep peace. I feel a deep peace, and I'm just going to talk to you a minute about a couple of things. I know that a lot of you have experienced what I've experienced: false prophecy. People coming saying God said when God really has not said. And I'm just going to touch on a little bit, how do you identify real prophecy versus false prophecy? I think you need to know that, because real prophecy, not only is it going to come to pass, but it's never directional. It's, in other words, what that means is, let me pray first before I say anything, because I humble myself always before the hand of the Lord. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. These are your people, and we as leaders in your ministry, in your gospel, are to protect the flock, to protect the sheep from the wolves. There are many wolves that are out there in sheep clothing, and they come to deceive, to manipulate, and they have their own agenda. They don't have the agenda of the Holy Spirit, as Evangelist Bernard was teaching. That's why we have to have the Holy Spirit to see these people who come as sheep in wolf's clothing. Glory to God. They come to cause division. They come to cause confusion and strife. They don't come to bring the peace and unity of Christ. Glory to God. The body of Christ is one. It's not 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So we're not divided. We are one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 29, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 29,
mm-hmm.
It's talking about the conduct of the order of prophecy in the church. The conduct and the order of prophecy in the church. First, it talks about tongues and the interpretation of tongues in 27 and 28. It talks about if there be no interpretation, then let them keep silent. You've probably heard people go off in tongues in a church or in a church meeting. They just go off and they're loud in tongues, and it gets the attention of other people. God is saying if there's no interpretation of that tongue, when they go off in tongues and they're loud and they're getting attention to themselves, God is saying it's not his spirit. Okay, they're drawing attention to themselves because there's no interpretation. And then the Bible instruction, that 28th verse, let them keep silent. In other words, shut up, because it's not God. And so we have to begin to recognize what is the Spirit of God and what is not the Spirit of God. Glory to God. In verse 29 it says, let the prophets speak two or three, and what that means, two or three people at the most in one service. There can't be like five prophecies. There cannot be five prophecies, because that's not God, and it's out of order, and it'll cause confusion, and God is not the author of confusion.
All right.
Okay, God is the God of order and the God of peace. So if you're ever in a church service and there's more than three prophets that speak during that service, get up and leave, because God is not in it.
Oh.
It says it right here. Let the prophets speak two or three. And it says at the most two or three. If there's more than two or three prophecies in a church setting. Now, on this line, when you're asking for prayer and the Lord gives a word, that's different. But when you're in a church setting, the Apostle Paul is talking about the church order here and how to keep order in the church setting. If there's more than three prophecies, it's out of order, okay? If there's no interpretation of a tongue that's loud, and a tongue that is getting the attention of the people, if there's no interpretation of that tongue, then that is out of order, and that person has to be quiet, shut up, or sit down. Amen? Now, it says here also in It also says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, and let the other judge. Who are the others? The other people who are in the church and other prophets also, they have the responsibility to judge prophecy to see if it's of God. You don't just accept any prophecy. It has to be judged by the Word of God, and it has to be judged by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
I say that to say this. There was someone who had came on the line, who had contacted me privately, and asked for prayer. And I prayed for them, and they began to give me a prophecy, well, a supposed prophecy from the Lord. And this is what they said. They said, God told me to tell you that you are to be over my business, or you are to be over these decisions that I make. And I listened, and I said, huh. I said, let me see if this lines up with God's word. If anybody comes to you and prophesies to you and say, God told me to tell you to do this or to do that concerning anything that benefits them, then judge it to see if it's God speaking to you. If God has not already dealt with you about that thing, in other words, if I come to you and I say, God told me to tell you to move to Alaska. Yeah, God told me to tell you to move to Alaska. If I come to you and tell you that, and if God has not dealt with you about moving to Alaska, it's a lie.
Mm.
It's a lie. It's not true. God doesn't do that. God will deal with you first about moving to Alaska, and then if I come along and tell you God said move to Alaska, then it's a confirmation. It's a confirmation of what God has already spoken to you. That's the way prophecy works. The reason I'm teaching on this by the Holy Spirit is because you need to know how real prophecy works and to bust the false prophets, to expose them for who they are. If God didn't say it, they cannot say God said. Because then they become a liar, and if they don't repent, then they'll stand in judgment for being a liar. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire.
Come on, you preacher.
Malachi, so cool. See, they not deceiving me or you, they deceiving themselves because they put themselves in the position to become a liar because they're lying on God, saying God said something when God have never said.
My God.
Yeah, when this person told me I was supposed to be over their business, I said, well, God, you know, had God said? I pray about everything. You can't pull the wool over my eyes. You can fool some of the people some of the time, can't fool all of the people all of the time. God got some folk that he have opened their eyes, like the message God had me to preach on Monday. God got some folk that he have opened their eyes, and he can see that counterfeit spirit, and God have shown people that that ain't the real Holy Ghost. Don't you know people try to mock the Holy Ghost? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It says, whatsoever, it says, be not deceived. God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap the destruction of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting.
Go ahead.
These people are mocking the Holy Ghost by saying, God said, when God have not said. And if they don't repent from their sin, and it is a sin to say God have said something to his people when he have not said it, then you put yourself in a position, the person that said it to you, to be a liar, and then that liar will be judged for being a liar. That's the way it works. That's the way it works, because see, they get so caught up with wanting to have a title and wanting to be known as a prophet or a prophetess. But there's a great responsibility to this. There's a great responsibility to this. You are working. You are working with the Holy Ghost, and it's the Holy Ghost that speak. Or if the Holy Ghost does not speak, then you can't say nothing. You can't say nothing because the Holy Ghost is in charge. And so what are we talking about today? How to identify the real and the fake. The Bible says we have to judge it. Okay, so one, it has to be something that God has dealt with you about.
Uh-huh.
If I come to you and say, God told me to tell you to move to Italy.
Yes, Lord.
And if God have never told you to move to Italy, then I'm a liar.
Oh.
And there have been, I have heard this in other ministries. I'll tell you this. There was a person who came as a prophet and told this couple, it was a white couple, to move to, I forget what state it was, but it was here in the United States. And they believed the prophet because what they used, the scripture they used out of manipulation, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his servants, the prophets, so shall ye prosper. That's what they used. And they told the people, God said, to move to this part of the country. The people moved to that part of the country. The ministry never took off. They lost their home. They lost money. They lost everything. And then they ended up getting a divorce. Yeah. Because of a false word from a lying spirit. That's why you pray about everything. A lot of people in ministry won't teach on what I'm teaching about because what this is for, it's to protect you. You pray about everything. You pray about everything. I don't care what you hear and what someone says to you and call themselves a prophet or whatever they call themselves. You take that to God. And you ask God, God, is this of you? He said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see whether it's of God. See, that person that came to me to try to fool me with some false prophecy, to try to tell me God said you're to be over my business and you're to make the decisions for my business, I said, the devil is a lie. God ain't told me that. God ain't told me that. That's not my call. That's not my ministry. See, people will try to get you off track, and if you listen to them, you will get off track and into a ditch, and then you can't get out of that ditch because God never put you there. That's why you got to judge every prophecy, even anything I say to you. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
To protect yourself. To protect yourself. I don't care if the biggest name person, I don't care if T.D. Jakes come and said, the Lord said. You take that thing to the Lord in prayer. And God will never mislead you. Amen?
Amen.
I had another one come to me. I'm not going to say his name, but I had another one come to me. And tell me, God said you're supposed to get a hotel and start a ministry, and then gave the name of a hotel. Gave the name of a hotel and told me, God said to do this for my ministry. Get a big old hotel and start your ministry there, and God going to send all kind of people, and wealthy people going to come. And I said, well, God, I prayed. I said, Lord, is this you? Are you telling me to go to this particular hotel and do this? I haven't heard nothing from God. And when God doesn't answer, that means he never said it. Let me say that again. When you go to God and you ask him a question and you ask him, did he say something? And God never answers you, that means God didn't say it. You see? God, if he spoke it, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He will confirm that word so that you will not be deceived. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. And I just want to piggyback on a minute for the thing that Evangelist Bernard was talking about, correction. This is another way you tell if the person has the right spirit and if they've been sent by God. If a person cannot accept correction on any level, if they rebel against being corrected, they do not have the spirit of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. If the person or any person who claims to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot or will not accept correction on any level, they do not have the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are to walk in humility. We are to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt us. He even tells you the battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. So you are not the one that fights. It's the Lord that fights for you, and then He tells you, you hold your peace. That's Exodus 14, 14. He says, you hold your peace, and the Lord will fight for you. This is how you know they don't have God's spirit. They're called the counterfeit. Mm-hmm. So when you're dealing with people in the church or in the ministry, these are some of the things that you want to be aware of and look out for. And another thing, and please don't fall into this category, a person that has a complaining and a murmuring spirit, that's a sin. If you have the spirit of murmuring and complaining, it's a sin. The children of Israel were blocked from going into the promised land, and they were actually destroyed because they had a complaining and a murmuring spirit. So if you have that, if that's been a part of your personality and character, and if that's something you're doing, stop doing it. Why? So that the blessing of the Lord can come. You will hinder your blessing if you continue to murmur and complain about everything. My God from heaven. So what we're learning today, how to identify false prophecy, it must be judged. How do you judge it? You take it to the Lord in prayer. You ask Him, Lord, is this of you? Glory to God. That's how you identify if the person has actually been sent by God or not. He says, believe not every spirit. 1 John 4 and 1. 1 John 4 and 1. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see whether it be of God. Amen? Amen. We're doing some teaching here today. The other thing I want to point out to you is in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to talk about the qualifications of a true minister. A true minister. The qualifications. Because there are people in the pulpit, there are people that are teaching, they don't have the true qualifications that the Bible says they should have in order to be qualified to even teach God's people. Oh, Lord. Yeah, you got some people in the pulpit, they don't have the true qualifications to teach God's people, and it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. If you don't have it, you're not allowed, according to the scriptures, to teach God's people until you get your life in order. 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's for the first one was false prophecy. How to identify the true and the false prophecy? You it cannot tell you something that God has never said to you. Now, if it's something like anointing yourself with oil or going on a fast, that's good because that's biblical. You know, you can find that in the Bible, so that's okay. If it's sowing a seed, that's okay. If that's a prophecy, God said sow a seed, that's biblical, so that's okay. But if it's telling you stuff like come and be over my business, come and make decisions for me, then you got to put that before God. And if God have not said it, don't do it because it's a trap. See, it's a seducing spirit. It's a lying spirit. It's a manipulative spirit. So be careful when someone comes to you with a word and telling you to do something that's not in the scriptures. My God from heaven. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is the qualifications for an overseer or for a teacher of the Word of God, someone who stands before God's people. This is what it says. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, which is an overseer or a teacher over God's people, that's what he's representing, a teacher over God's people, one who stands in the office of the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, any of those fivefold, that's the office of the body of Christ that God has ordained to speak to his people. Amen. So this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. In other words, it's a good thing to desire to teach God's people. It's a good thing to desire to be in a position of one of the fivefold offices. Glory to God. A bishop, an overseer, or a teacher must be blameless. Blameless means blameless. In other words, you can't have no foolishness going on in your life. Your conduct has to be without reproach. In other words, you can't be sitting up there fighting with your neighbors, lying to people, and then sleeping with women, doing all kind of mess, and then call yourself a teacher of God's word. Because he says you got to be blameless. Uh-huh. And blameless means blameless. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Even if we can't see you, God sees you. God sees what you do. He sees your lifestyle. He sees and hears what you say on the phone. He hears your conversations. He hears everything you're doing because you can't hide nothing. So this is the lifestyle that you have to live if you want to teach God's word. You got to be clean. You can't be dirty and then want to come before God's people and make it seem like you're living right. No, God don't expose you because this is God's word. He said you must be blameless. And some of them bishops and pastors and so-called prophets and evangelists and teachers that's traveling and sleeping with women and then going to get up and try to tell you something, get away from them. Get away from them because they're not qualified to teach. Sleeping with women, drinking, snorting cocaine, and then trying to preach. My God from heaven. God forbid. And then it says here, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. Good behavior is good conduct in the pulpit, outside of the pulpit, on the phone, in your home, in your neighborhood, at the grocery store, wherever you go. Given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, this means to teach people how to live holy. How to live holy and how to abstain from sin. That's what it's talking about. Don't get in sin with the people. Don't let the people draw you into sin. If you are a leader, there's no way a leader, I'm hearing all these stories about these leaders who are sleeping with women and counseling women, and then they get involved with the woman. They try to counsel her, and they really shouldn't be counseling no woman no way if they're not really full of the Holy Ghost. They should have another woman present. They should have a woman present. If they don't have the true spirit, if they don't have the true spirit of God, they're not even qualified to talk to anybody. They got to get right first. Trying to counsel women and then getting involved with the woman and then end up sleeping with her, that's not God. That's not God's spirit. He's telling you that you have to have good behavior. Go get yourself a wife. Sit your butt down until you learn something. And then three, not given to wine. You can't drink. You can't be going out, well, I just like to have a little wine with my dinner. And I'm sorry if you living for God, no wine, partner. No wine. Oh, well, you know, I just like to have a little wine every now and then. I just haven't got over it yet. The reason you haven't got over it because you don't got God's spirit. If you had God's spirit, you won't be desiring wine. You'd be desiring the Holy Ghost, which is the new wine. You don't hear me? This is the word of God. See, that's why these people are not qualified to teach. You read this and you take this to the church and you find out if the pastor got this. If he line up with this, then he can teach you. But if he don't line up with this, he can't teach you nothing because he's not qualified.
We're talking about spiritual qualifications in the Word of God. I don't care if they went to a cemetery school, got 10 degrees behind their name, everybody call them bishop, prophet, apostle. I don't care who they are. If they don't line up with this, they're not qualified. Oh, Lord, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's find out who you really are. Let's find out who you really are. Let's find out who you really are. Because the Bible going to expose you. Thank you, Jesus. So it says here, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, chasing the money, but patient, not a brawler. That means not an angry person. Don't get mad at every little thing that come your way. Get mad, get an attitude. Start hanging the phone up on people. Can't talk to them. See, that's not the spirit of Christ. See, a brawler is a person who's a fighter, in the natural and in the spirit. They want to fight you on everything. See, you have to have a sweet spirit with God. You have to humble yourself. Like when Elder McCoy came on the phone, I was flowing in the Holy Ghost. The man said, no, I need to pray for you, brother. You need a new anointing. I said, okay. Okay, yes, sir. See, God was testing me to see if I was willing to accept correction or humble myself. And because I chose to humble myself, God opened up the prophetess line who was in Florida. She said she was in Jacksonville, Florida. She came by the Holy Ghost and explained what Elder McCoy meant. She said what the man of God meant was this. You've been operating in the same oil yourself for a long time, and God is giving you fresh oil. See, I didn't understand the thing, but I just submitted to it. And there are times when we don't understand things, but if we submit to God's will, if we say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, when we submit to that thing, the blessing will be right behind it. And see, I didn't know that that woman was on the line. I didn't know she was calling from Jacksonville, Florida, a place where I preached and God moved in a mighty way. I didn't know that she was calling from there. I didn't know that she couldn't get through. But as soon as God had me to humble myself, God opened the line up, and then she came through and she prophesied and then began to prophesy about promotion. You got a healing ministry and what God is going to do, and the anointing is going to be so pure and clean. The only reason that happened was because I was willing to humble myself to Elder McCoy, accept prayer, accept what God gave him to say to me, shut my mouth, and listen. There are times, saints of God, when God want to correct us, because correction will come before promotion. If you don't pass the test of correction, you may have to wait 1, 3, 5, maybe 10 years before the promotion come again. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. We're teaching quickly, and I'm bringing this to a conclusion. We're teaching quickly on the qualifications of a bishop, of an overseer, of a pastor, of anyone in the fivefold ministry, apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, or prophet. Anyone who stands before you to teach the word of God, they must qualify according to this, the word of God, to stand before you. Verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house. You can't have no chaos and confusion going on in your home and going to call yourself standing before God's people and teaching them anything. Because the first thing you got to do is set your own house in order before you can try to tell somebody else what to do. Glory to God. This is what it says. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 5, and I'm going to close with this one. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? See, if you got all kind of mess going on in your home, if you're sleeping with people and cheating and lying and cussing on the phone and arguing with folks on the phone and doing all kind of stuff that's not pleasing in the sight of God, that you would not do before God's people, then God is saying You can't rule his church. You can't speak in his church. You can't stand before his people because your own house is not in order. And there's a lot of pastors that got stuff going on. They got a girlfriend and a wife. My God from heaven. They got a girlfriend and a wife. And they don't care. And then they stand up and try to teach God's people not to sin. But they sin in themselves. They're not living a holy life. And I heard Evangelist Bernard talk about you got to live a holy life. So you cannot listen to anyone who does not line up with the scriptures concerning being a person qualified by the Holy Ghost to teach you the word of God. They have to be clean. They have to be in order. They have to line up before they can tell you anything. Glory to God. Give God the glory. Father, I thank you for this word. May the people have learned something concerning identifying true and false prophecy. May they have learned how to identify people who are actually qualified to teach according to the word of God. And if they are not qualified to teach, don't listen to them because their spirit is not right. Yes, God is a forgiving God, but they still have to step down. They have to step down from that office or from that position, get their house in order, get their life in order, and then go back to the position once they get their life cleaned up and in order. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. I hope you got something out of that. I hope you received something out of that. I hope now you'll be able to identify and look to, and if you hear about these people, if they're doing these things, go to them with this word and ask them, are you sleeping with somebody? Do you have your life in order according to the word of God? Because before I join this church, I want to make sure you clean. I want to make sure you right. And if everybody start doing that with these pastors, it'll put them in check. My God from heaven, you don't hear me. If you start going to them with the word, well, is your house in order? Are you living a blameless life? Are you the husband of one wife? Are you of good behavior? Do you drink wine? Do you drink alcohol? See, check them. You got a right to question them. You got a right to question them. If you're gonna sit under that ministry, if you're gonna listen to that teaching, and if you're gonna give your money, you have a right to question them to find out who they really are. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. We'll pray for anyone who needs prayer. Amen.
Woo, Lord, that was the word.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
But, Pastor Davis, let me just say this. Should and if they were to do that, they will be kicked out of, like Sister Ruth said, evicted from the church building. You can't ask these folks anything. They won't control you. The financial status of the church.
No, they have
to leave. This is their church.
Oh, no, they
men
wrong.
Have taken over.
That's wrong.
Okay, and
that's
they
wrong.
Are governing themselves and judging themselves by themselves. You better not ask them what the line of order is, what is protocol. Can I find out the financial status?
Get out of there.
Lord.
Get out of there. If they don't comply with the word of God and you as a parishioner, a person who is coming to put your name on the roll of that church, you have every right to know these things, and you also have a right to know if the pastor's life is also in order. So if they are not willing to comply, and if they threaten to put you out, Jesus already said they're going to put you out, but it's their church now. It's their church, not the Lord's church. So leave, go ahead and say thank you, bye-bye. I didn't want to put my money here, no way. Take you and your money, and then go to God in prayer and ask God, where does he want you to put your membership so that your family can be blessed? Because if you're in the wrong church, it's hindering your blessings anyway. Shata. See, there is soil. Let me say this. There is soil that is blessed and anointed, because the heart of the servant of God is right, and he fears the Lord. But then there is soil that is cursed, and there's no good fruit coming out of that soil.
Wow.
See, people today, in the old days, when my mother grew up and when my grandmother grew up, they would go to the pastor's house, and they would talk to the wife, because they knew the wife would tell the truth. Well, baby, how is he at home? And then they would talk to the children. Well, baby girl, does your daddy yell at you? No, ma'am. See, they would do that in the old days. They would go to his house, and they would see how he living. And they would talk to the wife. Now, they don't let you talk to the wife no more.
You don't even know where they live.
No, you don't know where they live. So now.
You don't even know where they live.
No, you're not going to know where they live. You're not going to know. Because you
might
have to.
Unless you Google it online and search for them.
Google it online. But the main thing is this. You want to be assured, you know, it's just like at a job. You want to make sure that the company is not getting ready to file bankruptcy. You want to make sure that that company is not getting ready to go out of business. So what you do when you're getting ready to get a job or you're at a company, you Google it and you find out all the information on that company. You find out, are they in good financial standing? Can they afford to pay you? Glory to God. What are some of the other employees saying? Glory to God. About the 401k, are they still in the 401k? Because some companies will take your 401k, the money that you invested in the company, and they will cash it in and tell you they lost it. So you have a right.
Wow.
You have a right. That's your right before God, according to this word, to check them to find out if this is a ministry that you can trust. Is this a ministry that you can trust? Now, yesterday, God sent Elder McCoy as a man of God to establish authority. And I humbled myself to that authority, and it was God. Now, God was establishing authority that this ministry, Evangelista Bernard, what God has given her, is a ministry that can be trusted. And also sent the prophetess from Florida to confirm that this is a ministry that can be trusted. And the reason I know it's a ministry that can be trusted is because she cares for all of you that come on the line. She cares for you. She prays for you. She's careful about who she allows to get on this line. She checks them in the Holy Ghost. She makes sure they're right with God. And if they're not right with God, believe me, God will expose them to remove them, because God wants nothing but his clean people, people who are dedicated to living a holy life, talking to you, preaching to you about the word of God. And she's very careful. And if she discovers anything that's wrong, she's going to talk to you. And if she don't feel a peace in her spirit, she's going to dismiss you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's what's supposed to happen, because you, any person that God has placed in a position of responsibility is to protect the sheep, protect the congregation, protect the members, protect the people from the wolves. And believe me, I say this with the permission of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I've checked it out myself. She cares for all of you. She loves you. And she's here to make sure you're getting the right kind of teaching to help you, to encourage you.
Thank you, Lord.
She wants to see the best in your life. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus, it was a word, I tell you, you taught efficiently on that. I mean, we're talking about prophetic.
Yes.
We want to be prophetic, not pathetic. Some of us are operating as we are in the prophetic, but it's pathetic,
yeah.
And God isn't pleased with it.
No, he's not pleased.
So I really thank God for the man of God. I thank God for our listeners. And,
yes.
You know, some of them have been with us from the inception of this broadcast.
Thank you, Jesus.
And, you know, I pride myself on giving God our best. God has good quality people, good quality men and women of God that love him and love his word. And they will not hurt you. They will not harm you. The shepherd cares about the sheep. Hallelujah. The shepherd is not there to abuse, mishandle, mistreat, sleep with, fornicate with, whatever word you want to use. That's not the heart of the shepherd. Jeremiah 29:15, the Lord said, I will give you pastors. Pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. And that's why I say often, we're not here to debate, because God's word is going to stand the test of time. We don't have to argue and debate this word. Did he just read for you the qualifications of a bishop, the qualifications of a man, a woman of God that have been called, chosen, handpicked to preach and teach this gospel? We can't do it unworthily. That's just like what the scripture said about us taking the Holy Command. We eaten of God's body and we drinking of his blood. And he said, if we do it unworthily, it is unprofitable to us. If we want to live, we have to line up with this word. Yes. And when we're not where we're supposed to be, Prophet Davis, this word will find you. Jesus said, I came for the lost. Hallelujah. Those that are not lost, I don't need to find you. Those that are not sick, you don't need a physician. Hallelujah. We are, some of us are hurting. Some of us are hurting, and the greatest hurt that many have testified about, Poppy Davis, is church hurts. Church hurts are devastating. Church hurts will drive you far away from the shore. But that's why Jesus said, I come. That's why he said, don't put your confidence in the arm of flesh. Don't put your confidence in man, but you trust God. Yes, be obedient. You have to be obedient to those that have the rule over you. But as Dr. Davis just said, if they're not lining up with God's word, if they're smoking, if they are doing things that's ungodly, and when it is exposed and brought to your attention, and we turn our head the other way, God is going to get those that do. Because you know you're no greater than the one that sinned. If you sin and you don't speak out against it, God's going to come against you. And that's why what he said, I don't know everybody personally, but I try their spirits. I've met some men and women of God on Facebook that are honorable. I try their spirits. Some of them I've never looked upon their face, never met them personally, but I try their spirits. because there has to be some fruit. Amen. And somebody is watching you. Ah, God said, we are epistles, the word of God said, read of all men. We are the only Bible some people will see. So I'm careful, and I'm going to be more careful, because I won't have anybody on this line preaching and teaching a false doctrine and preaching and teaching like they're this and that, and they're not. Ah, here's a, well, what you say, you're not the body judge. No, I'm not. But I'm the overseer of this broadcast. So it's up to me. It's up to me to examine. It's up to me to know the record of these people. Now, I ain't going to search out their personal lives. I'm not going to do that. God didn't deputize me to do that. But I asked them some questions about their lives. I asked them some questions about their church. I asked them some questions about their service and their ministry.
Right.
Amen. And that's all I can do. You might get by and fool me, but you ain't fooling God.
Amen.
Because you will be exposed. And God, in the last five to seven years, we've seen God expose some folks that have been preaching and teaching in his name, but their life has been an open shame. And God don't want us to put him to an open shame.
That's right.
Not at all. Not at all. So we're here to encourage you all. We want everybody to prosper in God's word. We want everybody to prosper and live a holy and a righteous life that is pleasing to God, because he's the one going to reward us. I have no reward to give no man. But Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and I have my reward with me. He said, I am a rewarder to those that diligently seek me. Prophet David has given us the qualifications, hallelujah, of a spiritual warrior, somebody that is striving daily to please God. Well, we won't bore you any longer. You know, we have given you with death the Lord. And again, as I said earlier, those of you that have the Holy Ghost, and you know you're not living as you should, you know that you need help, you know you're struggling, guess what? That's what we're here for. We're here to pray you through. Hallelujah. God don't want you to die in a mess. He don't want you to be in sin. He wants us to live life in abundance. He wants us to be a blessed people where we can be able to bless others. Go back to the drawing board. Hallelujah. Lord, give me a new feeling. Hallelujah. Refill. Hallelujah. So we bless the Lord. We're going to ask Sister Ruby to open up the lines. We may have a few people on the lines. Anybody desiring prayer? Prophet Davis is here. I don't know if any other men or women of God. Well, we all are men and women of God, but those that are preaching and teaching this gospel, any other men and women of God on the line that would like to pray for any of the people, you certainly, we welcome you to do so.
Amen.
And also Prophet Davis is here. God bless
Amen.
You, Sister Ruby.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. I'm going to go to add 661. Your 4 is 0240. Your line is open. 661.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, we're blessed here. Who told you to come on the line? Who invited you?
I was listening to your broadcast, and I heard a few things said that aren't in keeping with the truth of the scripture.
Oh, and what's your name?
My name's Robert.
Okay, then. So I'm going to let you go back. I'm going to give you to Prophet Davis, because he brought the word, and Evangelist Bernard brought it before
him. I did too. Praise the Lord, Robert.
Okay.
What area are you calling from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah.
Okay, and what was your statement? Or you have a question?
Well, you said that a man is disqualified for drinking alcohol. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, and when he wrote to Timothy at this time, Timothy was actually a pastor who was appointing elders and bishops, which are in the organizational role of the ministry below a pastor. Paul wrote to Timothy and said in 1 Timothy...
Take a little wine for your stomach's infirmity's sake.
Right. So
yes,
the
I'm well aware of that scripture.
Okay, there's no prohibition on drinking wine. There's a prohibition on being drunk.
Actually, my friend, the instruction for the leader under this particular text is very specific. And the reason for that is that when you're in leadership, you're held accountable to good conduct and good behavior. So you do not want to allow your life to lead people into alcoholism. If you are drinking wine, then people see you drinking wine. They may be immature in Christ. They may be a new convert. They will say, the pastor is drinking, so I too will go out and drink. Now, we don't know the limits of any person. One glass of wine for you may not get you drunk, but one glass of wine for someone else, they may become intoxicated. They may not be able to drive a vehicle. And then legally, under the law, 0.08 is legal intoxication. The wine in those days did not contain the alcohol as it does today. Neither did it contain yeast. It was a natural fermentation process without the natural, without the additives that man adds today to the wine and to the alcohol. And the Bible says that strong drink is a mocker.
Fermentation is the product of yeast, whether the yeast is added to the batch or whether the yeast naturally occurs on the skin of the fruit. Any fruit that's crushed and set aside will begin to ferment because the yeast is in the air. I'm a baker. I bake bread. I make sourdough bread without adding any yeast to it. The yeast is naturally in the flour.
Robert, let me ask you a question. Do you have any trouble with drinking?
No, I don't. I was an alcoholic in my 20s, but it's been over 15 years since I drank. I have a particular stumbling point with alcohol, so I avoid it completely in my life now. But the scripture does not prohibit the drinking of alcohol, and the scripture also tells us clearly not to judge a man in food or drink or the keeping of Sabbath days. Each does it. Now, let me just finish what I'm saying. I understand the point made about adjusting our behavior if we know someone who is weak in the faith may be led astray by our actions. If we know that, then we're required to judge our behavior. But you cannot judge a man unfit for any position because he drinks alcohol. You can if he is a drunkard, if he drinks to excess, but you cannot judge a man because of the drinking or eating of substances which pass through the body and are gone. Christ was clear on this. Paul was clear on that.
You've made your statement. Now let me correct you. The scripture here is clear. Not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy of filthy lure. When he says not given to wine, it's very clear, don't do it. So
no,
I don't know. I don't know what
to, given to means taken over by. That's not.
Yeah.
You're not to judge any individual in their eating or their drinking. You recommended judging a man, which we're not supposed to judge men. A spiritual man judges all things.
That's right.
And is judged by no one. Things, not the person.
Like this,
Robert, Let me ask you, are you filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue?
I have never spoken in tongues. That's a gift. That is a gift that is given to some and not given to all. And now that you've broached that topic, I heard you spontaneously break out into gibberish. I also heard
Paul,
the host do the same thing.
You're out of order.
In Corinthians,
you don't have the Spirit of Christ, my friend.
Neither do you have
the Holy Ghost. You're operating in
a
religious spirit, and you're out of order. So I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Wait,
I have to take the position
to rebuke you
because you're not speaking through the Holy Spirit. This is not the Spirit of Christ that is speaking through you. You're speaking through the spirit of religion. Amen. Get him off the line.
Let me say this for the people who were listening
to protect your spirit. This gentleman, as I was listening to him, that's why I listened, because I waited and I wanted to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say. The Holy Spirit said, ask him, is he baptized with the Holy Ghost, as Evangelist Bernard was teaching on, with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. And I waited and I listened, and then I asked him, I said, Robert, do you yourself have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue? He said, no. And I immediately knew that that was not God speaking. That was a mocking spirit. So, see, all you have to do is wait and listen, and you'll be able to identify who's talking. The teaching was so clear, it shook this man all the way in Atlanta. And he's trying to say it's okay. Listen to what he's trying to say, though, saints of God. He's trying to tell you it's okay if pastors drink alcohol. It's not true. So he's saying it's okay if they have a little drink before coming to preach? See how people think? That's why God brought this teaching. That's why God brought this teaching. You don't want somebody under the influence of alcohol. You want somebody under the influence of the Holy Ghost.
And let's piggyback on my opening about the Holy Ghost. He said that gift isn't for everyone. Man, the scripture clearly said in Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you. What is that promise? The gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise unto you.
That's right.
And to the children.
That's right.
And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call.
That's right.
Okay? And also, Prophet Davis, we're just clarifying some things for the listeners to let them know that we're not preaching a false doctrine. 1 Corinthians 6:10 also says, that's why I told Sister Ruby, just move the line. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye 9-10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. It also says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Amen?
Amen.
No. The word is not contradicting itself.
No.
When you don't have it, if you're not living it, guess what? Then it becomes argumental.
Well, they're in denial. These kind of people, the Bible says it clear in Timothy 4. Let me just turn to that right quick. How they hear the truth, they'll reject it or they'll deny it. It says here, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, And then it goes on to say other things. But these people reject the unadulterated truth because they themselves, once again, the key part that the Holy Ghost told me to ask him, because I'm fair. I'll listen to people until the Holy Ghost speaks to me. And I let him have his say. You know, I was being a gentleman because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. But when God speaks, then that's it. And God said, ask him, does he have the Holy Ghost? You see, saints of God, it's no coincidence that Evangelist Bernard taught on the Holy Spirit. You notice that Spirit didn't have anything to say about that teaching, but he wanted to deal with alcohol, which this person, and the Lord asked, had me to ask him, do you have a problem with alcohol? You see, he comes from a background of alcoholism. So the Spirit, he doesn't drink anymore, but that Spirit is not out of him.
Lord,
what he
Jesus.
Really needed was deliverance. That's what he really needed was deliverance, but he failed to ask for deliverance. God would have delivered the man from the spirit of the alcoholism. He may not drink, but the spirit is still there.
My
and so
God.
he wanted to fight against the teaching of drinking. He said nothing else about the disqualifications of a leader except one thing, alcohol.
At least say judging. We're judging someone.
Well, we're judging based on the alcoholism. It was not judged based on his qualifications as a minister teaching the correct doctrine, but he's saying we're disqualifying him because of the alcohol. But the Bible clearly says here that not given to wine. That means don't partake of it.
All right.
So he needed deliverance, and I'm going to pray for him anyway. Father, you know where Robert is. We are not here to judge him, but to help him.
Thank you.
But so, Lord, we pray that you deliver him from the spirit that's in him that hinders him from receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Deal with him, Father, in his bedroom at night. Bring conviction that he would repent according to the word of God. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. Father, set him free from lust in the name of Jesus. Set him free in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Sister T.
This word is good. This word is good. Hallelujah. You know the word is good when you preach this. And right as you're in the midst of whining out, here it comes.
Amen, Sister T.
But anyway,
God bless you.
God bless you.
Go ahead, Sister T. Your line is open.
I just asked for prayer for myself and for my oldest daughter. She's going through some major things right now. She got burnt actually on Sunday, and I'm just kind of concerned about her well-being right now. And because I know God is taking me higher. I was at church praising the Lord, and I get a phone call that she had an accident with a burn. So I just ask you to continue to pray my strength in the Lord. And my daughter's name is Ashley.
Ashley, what's wrong with her? Did she fall or what?
Well, she's been having like a lot of traumatic things happening with her, and I'll go ahead and tell you. And I noticed that since she had a friend, I'm just going to go ahead and tell it. She had a friend who was dealing with homosexuality, one of her girlfriends, and she ended up getting married to this girl. Now, my daughter didn't get married to her, but her friend married another girl in Iowa. Now, my daughter was trying to be a friend to her and go to the wedding and all this kind of stuff, but I don't know if these demonic spirits got on her when she was in Iowa,
when
she's been back from Iowa. All kind of traumatic things have been happening. She's no longer at her job. She got burned really bad on Sunday. So I'm just concerned about her right now. And I
Does she live under your roof?
No, she lives in Sacramento. She's a college educated, independent person.
She doesn't live under your roof.
Okay.
She does not live under your roof.
No, she has her own.
Okay. What's her name again?
Ashley.
All right. I'm going to pray for her now. I'm not going to wait.
Thanks.
Father, in Jesus' name, we cancel the territorial assignment from Iowa, the strategically placed territorial demons that were strategically placed there to pounce upon Ashley. We cancel that assignment now that she has left that region. I rebuke the territorial demons from leaving their territory of Iowa to transfer and come into the region and territory of California, yea, even the northern region of California. I cancel their demonic assignment. You are trespassing. You cannot leave your region. I send you back to your region now in the authority of the name of Jesus, and I bind you there. I loose Ashley from every shackle, every chain, every influence of witchcraft, every influence of every dark spirit and every demonic spirit. I loose her. I command her to be set free now in the authority of the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. We command her to be loosed and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
My God, from glory, I feel the power of God.
Hallelujah.
My God from glory. My God.
Sister Donna?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Your line is
open. God bless you, woman of God. I just really praise the Lord for the teachings today. I had experienced church hurt in the past.
Yes.
And here lately, I got on another line and started listening to the teachings, but kind of felt a spirit, and a spirit that wasn't right. And also there was a lust spirit on that line.
Whoa.
I thank the Lord for Evangelist Bernard line, because that's something that we always get, and it's always pure. And it's always uplifting, and I tell you, I learned so much. I mean, I learned so much today. It was just really a blessing to me. Also, I would like to receive prayer for justice for God's people, and even myself in my court actions. I'm asking the Lord also to bless and release my money so I can be a faithful tither as I go. Also, to keep the blessings and the anointing flowing, I want to be obedient to Christ. And
okay.
To the church, in Jesus'
okay.
name.
Sister Donna?
Yes?
Let me say this regarding the release. That's what came up in my spirit as you were talking. Regarding of the release of your funds that are held up either through a court situation or whatever it is, sow a seed specifically with the word release on it, release, glory to God. Whatever the amount the Lord tells you to sow, sow a seed, glory to God, in the name of Jesus, concerning the release of those funds, and that the anointing will be on those funds. The anointing will be on that seed, the anointing to destroy every yoke. And I want you to write down this scripture, Isaiah 10:27. And it says in that scripture, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing."
Glory to God. And that's
like, boy, everything has been, I'm telling you, things are happening quickly now. The Lord just reminded me, Sister Bernard, quickly I'll say this, that this gentleman, Robert, actually spoke against the Holy Spirit when he said, "I heard you speak some gibberish." Mm-hmm. He spoke against the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says you can speak against the Son of Man and be forgiven, but you cannot speak against the Holy Ghost, because there's no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come. My God from heaven. Sister Donna?
Yes, my God.
The other thing that you had on the table, one was the release of finances, and the other one was justice?
Yes.
For the people of God.
Yes.
Becky's gone. I'm going to pray for the healing of your heart, for the injustice that you've suffered.
Glory to God.
Father, in Jesus' name, we rebuke Satan in the authority of the name of Jesus. Every wound, every scar, every ill-spoken word, every unprofitable word that has been spoken to and over my sister, and every injustice that has been done against her, especially in the body of Christ and also without the body of Christ, Father, we just loose healing now. We loose your healing salve. Yea, even the balm of Gilead, we loose the healing of Jesus Christ to flow through her body now, to flow through her now, to flow, as it were, a river of pure water and bring forth healing for the glory of God, even now, for the glory of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Full restoration. Joel chapter 2, full restoration. God says, I will restore the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the caterpillar hath eaten up. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. The name of Jesus. Do you receive that? Say, I receive that in Jesus' name.
I receive it in the name of Jesus.
Wow, God, how do you feel?
I feel a lot better. I feel really good. I feel like the Lord is truly moving. I feel blessed.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, my dear, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Sister Cammie?
Oh, hi, yes. I'm just logging in. I came in on late. Time got away from me today. I'll go back in on the archives and take a listen, but so sorry about that. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I said praise God. I'm sorry, I'm logged in on late because time got away from me today, but I'm going to go back in on the archives to take a listen, so thank you. And God, praise God for all of you. I appreciate it.
Amen.
Okay. Go ahead, Prophet Davis. Did you have anything to say?
Oh, to Cammie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, move in your house. Move in your house and anoint it with oil.
Yes. Yeah, I received that. Thank you so much.
And then when you get in there, put on some shout music and put some socks on and start shouting.
Hallelujah.
In the living room.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I receive that.
Nothing like praising God in your home, saints.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing like praising God. Put sometimes just get up in the morning before you eat breakfast and put on some praise music and just put on some socks and start dancing before the Lord. Start praising God. Hallelujah. Start thanking Him. Start blessing Him early in the morning when you get up before you even eat and just start praising God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We're going to Minister Aaron Singleton. Minister.
Praise the Lord, y'all. Praise the Lord. How you doing?
We're
this
blessed.
Is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I missed the sermon y'all had preached, but I know one thing. God was on y'all side. God been on y'all side. And the enemy did try to cut up through that man. I wanted to say something to him, but God used Prophet David on him like that. You handed that man well because he was out of line.
Yeah,
but the
was.
Thing is, you didn't cut up with him like he wanted you to cut. You didn't go there. You
no.
allowed the Holy Ghost. And I knew he didn't have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues being baptized.
That's right.
I knew it.
Yeah.
But you handled him, and he got off the phone quick.
Yeah, the devil got off the phone.
The enemy knew that you was up to come on. He had he probably was buzzing when he was on there. But he knew you was coming there, but he was trying to talk so intelligent.
Right.
Like he was like a pastor. But you, Lord Jesus, that's all
I waited.
I know you did.
I waited, Brother Aaron. I waited on him.
Man, and you don't, man, to say God is good, you prophet, I got to tell you this. God used you for me. Man, I went to go get that eye together when that surgery went good. Took it off today. The doctor took it off. And I can see so clear. I said, Jesus, in my doctor's office. I said, Jesus.
Thank God.
The nurse looked at me. I said, God healed me. My sister, Trisha was right there. I said, I can see.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Thank
you, Jesus. I felt so good today. I felt so good. That doctor stuff, they checked the eyesight. They checked all the thing, and they said, they looked at it. They said, doctor, nurse said it looked good. So I had to read the letters they was talking about. The smallest one I was reading them, F, C, F, C, D. Then he said, that's a 2020. The woman said it. I said, 2020. Yes. Then I went to see the doctor. The doctor seen my eye after what he seen. He said, yes. He said, everything is perfect. And you said it, God going to do a miracle.
That's what he did.
It's going to mess them up. And when they was doing my eyesight, I was looking at him. I was trying to go to sleep, but I was looking at him. And then my eye on my left, I just looked at him. When he took that scale off, he put the other one on it. And I was just looking at him. It wasn't hurting or nothing. I was just looking at him. God was like, see, I told you. I'm going to do a miracle on your eyeball.
Thank
I told
you, Jesus.
Woo.
Glory, glory.
I felt it good. And then all day, man, God was using me. And I was telling my cousin, Adrian, I was telling my sisters and them about your broadcast. And I was telling them about you. And my sister, Trisha, was green. Everything. Everything. I set him up with Freddie. Everything.
Yes.
She was green. See, they want to get on your broadcast. God was doing miracles for them to get on your broadcast. And then I forgot to tell you, yesterday I was talking to a friend in New Jersey, and I said, hold up, in New Jersey about you, Michael, but the Lord,
yes,
he was my friend. I gave him your number. He wants you to call. He want to call you. My friend named Rodney Smith.
Okay.
He said, what? I said, he's like my uncle. I said, he's powerful God. I said, he's a true man of God. And I said, God is doing something. I said, my cousin's website, God is bringing them on there like crazy. That's what the Lord is doing. I told you, evangelist Bernard, Adrian, cousin. I told you God is bringing folks on your line to be nosy. The enemy's bringing them, too, to be nosy. You see what this line is about.
That's it.
But it's
that's
too
right.
anointed, so they can't handle it. They
that's
got
it.
To get
yes,
off. They can't handle it. And what it is, the enemy's throwing them. All kind of people going to be on here. All kinds of nationalities are going to be jumping on this line. But
that's
God
is
setting them up. He's setting them up because you got some true men and true women of God that's preaching and teaching the truth. And people's tired of phoniness.
That's right.
They're tired of people giving them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
We want to give you what you don't want to hear, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Being baptized, getting filled with the Holy Spirit.
And
you got
speaking
to get
in
the
tongues.
Holy Ghost. You've got to get that speaking. The folks don't believe it, but you got to do it.
I know. That's
but you've been preaching and teaching about the tares of the soul, and folks don't see it. We're not playing church on this line. This
That's
is
right.
about holiness.
Holiness.
God is coming. This ain't you got to save yourself. And we ain't going to spend time with the devil if you don't want to hear. You think it's all right to drink wine. You should be cleaned up when you first got saved. God will deliver
That's what
you
I'm
from
talking.
That.
Yes.
Being
yes.
baptized, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. That's his recipe to change you from your lifestyle. You shouldn't even have the audacity in the heart and your mind
That's
to
right.
want to even teach on that.
That's right.
God
That's
has
right.
delivered you from that mess.
That's right.
Tempt and prostitute. God delivered you from all that.
Yeah.
That's what the Holy Spirit. It don't make no sense to talk about it's all right to drink.
Come on.
You shouldn't even have a desire to drink.
Shouldn't even have a desire.
If God delivered you from that, why do you want to have a desire to drink anyway?
That's going
That's
backwards.
That's why the devil tore us up and out in sin. We
That's
got
it.
Our life together for the right reason.
That's it.
Not to keep practicing sin. That's why people are so confused right now. Messed
That's
up.
Right. That's
they,
right.
Then you know what, Pastor and evangelist, my cousin, I'm gonna tell, Adrian, that what it is, they still back in slavery in the mind.
Yeah, in the
messed
mind.
Messed up. That'll do. God loves you for who you are. No, God don't. God love you, but He don't love what you're doing. He can't
That's
stand
right.
seeing it.
That's right. Can't stand it.
And you
see,
gonna have the nerve to get on there and mess up other people's lives because you messed up. You
see,
confused.
These kind of people, Minister Aaron, they want. To make it acceptable to do all kind of stuff in the pulpit. You start out with a little wine, then a little alcohol, then a little premarital sex, then a little extramarital sex. Then it's okay to go to the nightclub. That's what they want to teach. But the devil is a lie.
That's right. And the people that are coming on the scene like you and my cousin and all that's preaching the truth on this line, that's why this line is anointed broadcast. If we not playing in the enemy's bringer. See, they think they bring it, they took, but the devil's setting them up because we going to read them their rights about Jesus Christ. And we ain't playing church up in here. It's about being right. We done been there and did that. That's over with.
That's right.
In fact, the nerd is talking about it's all right to drink. There's a lot of people thinking that. It's all
right,
to drink. It's all right to drink. Yeah, you're going to get drunk. What you going to do after that?
Yes.
Don't mess yourself up.
You.
That ain't all right.
You got
don't
want
to hear the truth.
Don't want to hear it. That's right.
They don't want to hear the truth. They want to keep living the life they've been living in sin.
That's why God. That's why God asked me to ask him, do you got the Holy Ghost? He said, no.
That's right. Messed him up. I ain't never had that. He was talking so good, like he was intelligent. But you know what? Before I left, my time is up. Give me 1 minute before my time is up. That's why you said it in when you've been teaching on this line the whole time. If anybody out there is hearing, you said sow the seed, tear seeds. You talking about the seeds are tore up in the wheat out there. That's what's going on. You got a lot of these people, false prophets, these evangelists, you got a lot of these apostles ain't telling them the truth. And they live in the way they want to live, but they can't stand the truth. When you're a really true man of God, they don't want to hear that. And what you did was so powerful. And I know my cousin tore it up because I caught you on the last interview with my cousin when you was teaching, and I know you were so nervous. If I knew that, I would have been jumped on. But what happened when you texted me, I was doing something. But I jumped on. Period. It didn't matter if he was, if Prophet wasn't, I was still going to get on. But God worked because I had a testimony about my eyesight. God is a healer if you believe it.
Yes.
Trust in his faith. And you keep up the good work, Prophet. You keep the good work because they don't believe that. Oh, my God, you handed them so well. Because he almost was talking like you almost got me confused because he was talking so proper like you. But when you busted him and said you got the Holy Ghost, he messed him up. It messed him up.
Then he got off the phone and ran like a coward.
That's what he did. That's right. But that's what right there. You got to pray for them type of people because they don't understand. Their understanding is wrong. Maybe this right here wake him up. But I see him coming back on the line. He's going to come back on the line again because this time he's going to be much better. What you said was powerful. And he probably like to study that Bible inside out like he knows the word. When they get buzzing, I know the word where they said no.
Yeah, but he don't have
the
Holy Ghost.
You ain't got nothing. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey,
right.
Text me Rodney's number too.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. All right.
Amen. Good to hear you. And we thank God that the surgery went well and everything is good with your eyes. God is a healer.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Well, anybody else on the line? I got to get out of here today.
Okay. Well, is this Sister Dawn? These three ones, 111. Sister, the line is open. Sister Dawn? Okay, it must not be her. They're not answering. Okay, let me go up here to. Okay, let me open up. Prophet Pearson? Prophet Pearson?
You can hear him.
Prophet Pearson? Okay, he's not responding.
Okay, anybody else? Let's move on, Sister Ruby. I got to get out of here today.
Yeah, that's everybody that has, stayed on the line.
Amen.
Oh, I can say it just was a blessing, Prophet Davis. Aaron, he didn't hang up. I cut him, I shut the line down on him. And he's from, he didn't hang up on himself. We just took him out. But he's from Measure Faith Church because he's on the chat room telling everybody about it in different scriptures. Anyway, Prophet Davis is just... Prophet Davis?
Yes.
What I'm going to tell
Who else is that on the line? Oh, is this Prophet Pearson?
What church is that guy from? I'm going to contact his pastor.
Okay, Measure of Faith.
What city? Oh, Atlanta?
Yeah, he said he was Atlanta.
Okay,
measure of...
Yeah, I'll contact his pastor.
Okay, I had the Prophet Pearson on. He said something. Okay, then, so I'm going to close that out. We're so thankful for you, the Lord doing business. To the broadcast today, Prophet Davis, we just thank God for the anointing and the anointed word that come forth for his people and you. So we just thank and ask the Lord to strengthen and bless you and give back more than whatever you gave us today. So God bless you.
Amen. I receive it.
Amen. Well, we thank God for you. I'm asking for prayer. I'm driving on to Fresno, bringing my granddaughter down here to get things set up for college and what have you. So just pray that God will go with us as we drive down there this evening. We'll be gone until Friday. So we'll see how things, how the Lord bless. On tomorrow, we do have a speaker for Friday. So we'll see how God bless on tomorrow. So just asking you all to continue to pray for us as we travel. And we're going to go back to Prophet Davis and have the last word again. Thank God for all of you all. Thank God for the testimony from Sister Tammy moving into our home. And Minister Aaron, healing, Sister Donna, keep on moving and walking in that. Sister T and all of those that God has allowed us to pray for on today. Again, thank God for the man of God coming on and helping us. On today, we certainly appreciate him in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. I just want to say God bless everyone who participated and everyone who was listening. And no matter what anyone says to you, it is not okay to mix alcohol and the Word of God under any circumstances. It's called wine and spirits. Okay, so there are spirits behind this stuff. I don't care what any devil tells you. I don't care what kind of scripture they try to twist or pervert. You cannot mix water and wine. You cannot mix the Holy Ghost with other things, thinking it's okay to preach and teach God's people while you're in the bar and in the nightclub, or have bottles of alcohol at your home, or even a bottle of alcohol in your desk in your office at the church. You sipping on some wine and sipping on some alcohol, let me tell you something. Addiction comes very slowly, and the devil is very crafty. He'll tell you, go ahead and take on a little sip of wine, a little sip here, a little sip there. Before you know it, when trouble comes, you're going to go to that bottle, and you're not going to go to Jesus. That's why that man had an alcohol problem. See, he'd want to tell people it's okay to drink alcohol. He himself was in bondage to it. And now he want to promote that drinking is okay. The devil is a liar, and the truth ain't any. So if you got any pastor telling you it's okay to drink wine and alcohol, you get up out of that church, because something wrong with you. They don't have and you see what I did. Well, not what I did, but you see what the Holy Ghost revealed. The man does not have the spirit of Christ. And I'm going to end with this. Romans 8 and 9. Read it for yourself. First, the Holy Ghost spoke to me about this man. I didn't come up with this. The Holy Ghost said, ask him, do we have the Holy Spirit? Romans 8 and 9, the part B, says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That man don't belong to Christ. He don't belong to Jesus. He belong to Satan. That's why he want to promote drinking. So you be careful of them devils. See, the only thing he does, you judging him because he drink. That's right, the Bible judges him, and he already judged him. He said, be not drunk with wine. That's in the book of Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but cancels out the previous statement, but be filled. feel with the Holy Ghost. When you feel with the Holy Ghost, you don't have no taste for that stuff, like Minister Aaron was saying. Glory to God. So we're going to close out in prayer. We just thank God that that devil was exposed, that alcohol demon that want to get people to drink in the pulpit so they can come teaching some old off doctrine.
That's right.
And laying hands on you, and then laying hands on you, and they got alcohol in their system in the pulpit because they was drinking last night. Lay hands on you, and then that spirit transfer onto you.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to be clean, and you got to be pure.
That's right.
So I'm going to yield, and I'm going to let Aaron close us out in prayer.
Okay. Dear my Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, let your blood prevail, God. Bind every atmosphere, every stronghold, oh, God. I come to you. Let your blood prevail, God. You know this is a holy line. You put this on it because the foundation of Jeremiah, Jesus. We didn't know what we was going to be. We didn't know what was coming ahead of us, oh, God. But let your will, even the way, oh, God, you had the prophet. You had my cousin Adrian, oh, God. Evangelist Adrian, teach the word and preach the word. It affected that man so bad. That he had to speak up, but he didn't know that you had a backup plan for the prophet to come behind him and tell him his rights about Jesus Christ in these last and evil days. Oh, Father, because it's about souls. It's about your kingdom. Because without faith, it's impossible to please you, Lord God. Watch over us. Guide us in the right direction. Let not our hearts be troubled. Bless old my cousin right now, traveling in the danger highway. Let your will be done. Cover her with your blood. God, the enemy don't like it because people have been getting away so long about the holiness, trying to do the way they want to do. They want to bring up holiness the way they want to bring it up, like you a new God. No, you the old same God since Genesis back then to the end now. Nothing ain't changed but us. But God, your will to be done. Not our will, but your holy will to be done. Let your blood prevail. Let somebody hear what we're talking about. Let somebody see what we're talking about. See, the enemy wanted to cut through up to him to mess up the glory of what we got for you on this line so he can be hearing it so other folks, when he speak, that other folks can hear what he's saying and it'll mess them up. But that's a line wonder from the pits of hell. No weapon formed against us going to prosper. Great is that he that's in us that is in the world. You're lying wonder, Satan. We come against you. Plead the blood of Jesus. Where's one or two touching in the grin? You're messing with the wrong family. You better let your blood prevail right now. Keep your angels capped around us. Bless the prophet while he's on his back. Touch his mind. Touch his spirit. Guide him in the right direction like you did Moses in the wilderness. Oh, God. Touch his heart. Touch his mind. Touch his spirit. Notice him from his head to his toes, oh God, when he come out of there like he's in a tunnel right now. When he come up out that tunnel, he be, oh God, he's so anointed like never before. Give him triple for your blessing, for your glory. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Don't let your prayer be the same. Touch the people that's out there, God. Guide them in the right pathway. Let not their heart be troubled. Lead them. In Jesus' name we pray right now. My God, you're so worthy. Jesus.
We bless you, God.
Praise you, Lord, like they did in heaven. Holy, 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 holy.
Hallelujah.
It ain't about us. It's about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's about you, Jesus.
We bless you. We bless you all.
Everybody,
we'll see you on tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. We pray you have a glorious day. In Jesus' mighty name, Sister Ruby, you can take us on out. Love you all.
Okay, I'm going to go with I Won't Complain by Reverend Paul Jones.
I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And some sleepless nights.
But when I look around, yeah, I think things over. All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I will complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord. Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Lord has been so good to me. Have you been good? He's been good to me. More than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good to me. You know what he did? Yeah. He dried all of my tears away. In today, so I'll just say thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body rocking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due. Don't know where the money coming from. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How long? Yeah. I won't complain. God, 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 God has been so good to me. More than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. So good. So good. So good. So good. Tell me, me. Never stop you from crying. Turn my midnight in today.
Look to see you tomorrow at 1:00 p.m. God bless. We're going to close out now.